soon to a...
A man has seen every... Hell comes to Huntsville.
Hell hath returned to Huntsville.
Hi.
Welcome to another Stephen King movie. We talked about Carrie early on in
Christine.
That's what I meant.
It's another bitch name.
Join us tomorrow. We're going to talk about something else. We're tapping out right there. Christine. God damn it. Fucking gas leak in the studio, I swear.
Seas are tough, man.
They are. They really are. We're back talking about another horror movie as not only based on a Stephen King short story, but directed by Stephen King. We are going to get into some things today. Here on Hell Comes to Huntsville. My name is Jack Spade, having a senior moment, apparently.
It's okay.
Across from me, Leanne?
That's me.
Leanne.
That's me. Foster. Too many vowels, baby. That's me. Yes. Too many vowels, not enough movies.
I mean, that's Leanne in a nutshell.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the Tinder profile right there. Leanne, too many E's, not enough movies.
Yeah.
And joining us on this little trip through hell, kind of the brainchild behind this whole thing, someone who hosted his yearly review of horror films. He liked to call it Hell's Wells, teamed up with us. He also has a phenomenal podcast that you should check out called America's Barley Basket. New episodes every Tuesday, all the way from Fargo, North Dakota there. Marlon Wells, how are you there?
Ah, yeah, we're doing good. We're going to go to the boat show.
Oh, geez, there's a boat show at the Fargo Dome there.
Oh, geez, we're going to go to the boat show, get some of them donut rolls.
Oh, gosh, I said to Maynard over there, I said, gosh, you know, the boat show had too many boats, not enough shows.
I want too many boats to be like the underheading on their banner this year. Welcome to the boat show. Too many boats.
I really wanted to go for the shows.
Too many boats sounds like a Tim and Eric sketch is what it sounds like. I'm doing good. We're up here. We're plowing through. We're past the halfway point now. Feeling it yet? Are you feeling like the whoof? Okay, this is a lot. Like you're up several flights of stairs, and you're like, whoof, okay, yep. There's a lot to go yet, and we're sweaty.
I mean, I love this, but by day five, I was like ready to cry.
It's a lot. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. I have in the past done movie marathons. Like it used to be at one point there were 28 Godzilla movies, and every February I would watch all of them. I would watch a Godzilla movie every single day. I joined Marlon on his Hell's Wells endeavor, where I too would watch 31 horror movies in 31 days. I've never done it like as a podcast,
right?
So I'm like, oh, okay, cool, yeah, I've done this before, it's no sweat. But then it's like, oh shit, now I have to find time to come in and record and put social media content together and then actually watch the movie and still have a life and still like go to work and oh fuck, this sucks, but it's fun, but it also sucks.
Suffer for your art, Jack. Suffer for your art.
Man, can I just be a cutter? I just want to cut.
You can do this, Jack. This is my, like, halftime speech. Like, we're going to go out there, and those Ruskies will beat us 9 times out of 10. Is that the Kurt Russell miracle speech? I don't have the whole thing memorized. But not tonight.
All right, coach. All right, put me back in. I'm ready to fucking go.
I feel like Mick and Rocky, just like putting cold compresses on you, just like, yeah, get back out there.
Cut me, Mick.
Get up, Jack. Get up, Jack.
All right. For y'all, I'm going to plow through this one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. today we are talking about Maximum Overdrive, A movie which I still enjoy. I'll kick it off for you today.
Okay.
A movie that I've always enjoyed. This is an interesting movie for me because there are certain movies that I have enjoyed for different reasons throughout time. Like when they first came out, I liked it for one reason. As I got older, I watched it, I liked it for a different reason. This is one of those movies.
Okay.
I liked the movie because of the bitchin' fucking truck with the Green Goblin head on it.
That was a cool look.
And that was taken from the Green Goblin from the Marvel comics. So growing up being a comic book reader, I'm like, wait, that's the Green fucking Goblin. That's pretty fucking rad. And Leanne's over here going,
can we just say it now? Nerd.
Yeah.
Nerd.
Fucking dork. Fucking Jesus Christ, Jack. I can't believe a woman has ever touched a penis.
I can't say you brought Marvel into my life. I can't be mad at you for liking Marvel.
Fucking dork.
Okay, all right. Calm it down over there.
Pump the brakes.
You Transformers sunglasses on your head wearing nerd.
Yeah.
Seems like everybody's a little prickly right now. Let's stick to the movie.
Let's bring it back.
We've had a good couple days.
Bring it in. No, I like this movie in when I was younger, kind of because of that. That got me in. And then, you know, a couple years later in junior high when I got into that Stephen King phase, and I'm like, oh, I appreciate the movie for a whole different reason. And then I got into, like, I had a brief moment where I was like, I kind of dug AC/DC, as I think everyone does for 5 minutes or maybe longer. And I'm like, I like this movie because of AC/DC. And then as I got older and the internet became a thing and home video behind the scenes things would come out now on DVD and stories about movie productions would come out on DVD. And then I learned how just completely coked out of his fucking mind Stephen King was when he made this movie. And I immediately went back and rewatched it. I'm like, oh, this explains a lot. Yeah, this movie's fucking money. Initially, I liked the movie when it first came out. I still like it to this day. But like I said, for a spectrum of different reasons.
Right.
And Marlon Wells, I know you like this movie quite a bit. Do you still like it? Does it still hold up for you?
I do still like this movie, and I have trouble articulating why. Because, like, there's no, like, oh, this performance is brilliant, or oh, these special effects are great, or isn't this story compelling? Like, it's not super strong in any one thing, but the whole package together, wrapped in the vibe that this movie has. This movie just has, like, a fun rock and roll vibe around it that I am super into. I like this movie quite a bit.
And now we are two individuals who have seen Maximum Overdrive. We are talking to a third who has not seen Maximum Overdrive. So her very first time watching this movie, probably no more than like 12 to 24 hours ago. We will find out, Leanne Foster, what did you think of Maximum Overdrive?
Well, I really wanted to like this movie.
Uh-oh.
But I didn't. I couldn't get into it at all. I felt like it was almost campy and goofy and just, it was just, like, I don't mean to shit on it, but it was just dumb to me.
Okay.
I didn't buy any of the performances. I didn't care about any of the people. I mean, it had some good parts to it, like they steamrolled kids, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, and they had some good shots in it, but there was nothing about it that I could grasp onto. So it was kind of almost a letdown because I did want to like it, but I didn't.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know.
So the premise for someone that's maybe following along the podcast that's never seen the movie, the premise basically, vehicles, inanimate objects, machines come to life
and
start fucking with the people. An ATM calls Stephen King an asshole.
Did enjoy that.
enjoy that?
This thing called me an asshole. That was good.
Stephen King does not remember filming that scene.
That is amazing.
Isn't it, though?
Wow.
Like, right before he called action, he probably did, like, just a monster line of coke off his own forearm. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, said, this machine just called me an asshole. Mm. Which tickles me to no end.
That is tickling.
I don't know
for
why.
Sure.
But yeah, like, kind of like what Marlon was saying, there isn't, like, this movie should not work for ways, and apparently it just didn't work for you.
It didn't work for me, yeah.
So now we know it doesn't work, apparently, right. To some.
Yeah, I know. I'm really, honestly, I am super bummed about it because I thought, oh, machines taking over, and like, I love big trucks, and I'm like, oh, we're going to get all this, but I just, it didn't. Huh. Didn't do it. I'm sorry.
I mean, you don't have to apologize. Like, we're still going to do the rest of the month with you. Like,
no, I think I'm just bummed myself because I wanted to like it. Yeah.
As the movie went on, because like I have seen movies where I was so hyped for them, or they've been talked up, and I'm like, oh my god, this is going to be great. And as the movie went on, I'm like, oh boy, like I really don't like this movie. Like, and I'd look for things. I'm like, oh, can I, maybe I like this, I like that. And I would almost try to convince myself into liking it. Mm-hmm. Did you catch yourself doing that?
I did. I was like, oh, truck circling. Okay, that's cool. No, it's not. And then I was like, oh, the boss at the thing, he says funny shit and he's cool. I'm like, oh, no, he's not. And then I was like, ah, Emilio Estevez. I'm like, no, I don't believe him in this role. Okay, that's not. And then, yeah, I just, mm-mm. Mm. I did. I kept trying. And the thing I kept going back to most was like, okay, the fucking goblin truck. That's fucking cool. That's cool.
Right?
And then I was like, it's not cool enough. And then
the boys are going to be so disappointed in me tomorrow.
And it's such a cool name. Maximum Overdrive sounds awesome.
Right.
But, nope.
The short story that it's based on is just called Trucks.
Why is that funny?
Because it has an exclamation point.
You
trucks.
Did that.
I put the finger in the
like,
air.
Excelsior. Trucks.
Yeah. Trucks.
Oh, that's funny. That's really fucking funny. I wish it had been named Trucks, and then maybe I would have.
They did remake it as Trucks. Like close, and it, apparently it was like closer to the short story. I don't know. Like I can't remember that much. I only watched it once, and I'm like, oh, this ain't Maximum Overdrive. Right. No goblin truck. Where's the fucking goblin truck? Where's Emilio Estevez?
Have a goblin. Mm. Yeah.
So Marlon, what are you, have you ever seen Trucks, Marlon?
I've never seen Trucks. No, I haven't. And I haven't read Trucks either, but I should make time. I'm sure it's in one of the, I don't know, probably not Leanne, but maybe you, Jack, are like me and have a bookshelf full of books that need to be read that you just haven't gotten around to yet. And there's a short story compilation on there from Stephen King that definitely has Trucks in it, and I should watch Trucks, but I just have not. And I've never seen that remake either. I've been like wrestling with this all day of like, Marlon, point to things you like in this movie. And it's harder than you would think. Like, this movie is as if AC/DC were a movie. Like, oh, nothing yes. in here is very good. Nothing in here, none of this content is like is deep. None of this content is like awesome on a technical level, but for whatever reason the vibe is good. And so like all I can point to in this movie is the vibe. And I also really like and I like this in stories in general, and you see this also in The Mist. I like a global thing happening, but we are going to focus on the smallest thing. You know what I mean? Like it, you're told right at the beginning of this movie that this is happening all over the world, but we are going to examine the group of people trapped in this one building. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's so tight and so self-contained. I like those types of stories in general. The how is this worldwide thing affecting these half dozen folks? I like that, and we get that here is probably a big part of why I like it. I should also point out that I don't really care for AC/DC at all. I could put together like maybe a 5-song playlist of songs that I really like, two of which are in here, Hell's Bells and Who Made Who. But as a whole, AC/DC, not my thing.
I have always been scared to agree to that or to say that, but I feel that way exactly. Like, I had my 5 minutes where I was like, AC/DC fucking rocks. And I was like, I worked for a classic rock station. I swear to God, we played them every half hour. We played them every 30 mm-hmm. minutes. And I was like, oh, this is the same song again.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the same song. Like, oh, shit, this is the same song. Like, I don't get it.
AC/DC is one of those bands, like, you know, when they say, hey, there's a new AC/DC album coming out, I've already heard it.
We've already heard it.
It's like, but they're a band that they do their one trick and they do it well, to me, at any rate. I'm not a super fan by any means, you know, right. but I, you know, like I said, I had my 5 minutes of mm-hmm. super fandom, mm-hmm. but yeah, AC/DC, the movie, I think that sums it up about perfectly.
That is a very good description of the movie.
AC/DC is such a known quantity, like you said, as soon you can get one guitar lick and be like, yep, I know this song, I know the whole thing, I know all the words, I've never heard it before, but I know all the words, I know what it's about, I can air guitar the whole fucking thing. AC/DC is just Godsmack for old men.
Yep.
It's just Boomer Godsmack is all it is. Like,
I know exactly. Shit.
I know exactly what all of these songs are going to sound like. And if you like it, you like it. And if you don't, you don't. I totally get it.
Oh.
Like I said, there's about 5 that I could take with me, but that's about it.
I hate saying that about Godsmack, but that is true.
Yeah.
So true.
Now, Marlon, this is a question that is kind of strictly specifically for you. Now, your podcast, America's Barley Basket, you and Nathan Fulsebach, you kind of focus on The Simpsons. You get wildly sidetracked from time to time, as Leanne and I do on Huntsville Home Video, which is part of your charm, uh-huh. part of our charm. Now, have you revisited this movie since starting your podcast?
Yes, today for this.
Well, I mean, before today, obviously.
I knew that answer.
Fuck you. Fuck you both. The reason I ask, because you're a fan on The Simpsons, like you love the Lisa stories, and Yeardley Smith, the voice of Lisa, is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I just, and Leanne looks shocked as
Whoa!
Fuck right now. You didn't know that was Lisa Simpson?
No.
Oh, wow.
Mm-mm. The wife, right? The newlywed?
Yep. Connie. And Connie of Connie and Carl, I think, is Curtis. Curtis. Connie and Curtis. She is extremely abrasive in this movie. Like, and she's, you know, she's supposed to be, you know, like, you know that she's supposed to be at the ending when they're sailing off. And she's, Curtis, I'm going to throw up. Like, holy shit. She's the worst. She's maybe the worst part of this whole movie. I'll say it. I don't care for her at all in this movie.
So that was going to be part of the question, was because of how much you love Lisa on The Simpsons. Like, I was going to see if you know, this had any kind of adverse reaction to you.
it's a weird shift. Like, oh, you're like my favorite part about The Simpsons. And boy, I wish you'd shut the fuck up in this movie.
I wish that goblin truck would run you the fuck over.
I'd have drowned her in that bathwater in that tunnel. I'd have just been like, down, bitch.
She is the most damseliest damsel of any movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
Yeah, Lisa Simpson in Maximum Overdrive.
Did not put that together. I didn't hear it. I didn't get it.
All right.
That's fascinating.
Fair. So we've discussed, you know, like we prefer our AC/DC to be in Stephen King movies.
Mm-hmm.
We prefer our Yeardley Smith in The Simpsons. How do we all prefer our Emilio Estevez?
Eh.
Yeah, you got no thoughts on the Estevez?
No, I don't get the hype on Emilio Estevez. I mean, I guess back in the day when there were a big hype around him.
Oh, yeah, he was
like the guy, right? Or one of the guys. I don't get it. I've never found him particularly attractive. I can't say that I've watched many of his movies, as we know. and I didn't see him as the rough and tumble hero of this movie. Like, I didn't get it at all.
All right.
No, not me.
Fair. Marlon, any affinity towards the Estevez?
I thought that he fit in this movie fine. Like I would rather have Kurt Russell, but I feel like I could put that on most roles. So
I mean, that's a given.
I think it comes from Big Trouble in Little China. Anytime I see someone who's the hero of a movie wearing an undershirt as a shirt, I immediately think of Big Trouble in Little China, and I think of Kurt Russell, and I'm like, you should be Kurt Russell. This would be better if Kurt Russell were in this. To me, Emilio Estevez coaches the Mighty Ducks. He'll never be anything else. I was the right age for those Mighty Ducks movies, so to me... and I've seen him in other things, but when I do, I go, oh, that's the coach from the Mighty Ducks movies.
That's Gordon Bombay right there.
Yeah, exactly. He got a DUI and had to coach a hockey team, which is real weird punishment. It's a real weird judge. So he'll always be that for me. Also, I will say, though, honorable mention, pretty decent in Loaded Weapon.
Heck yeah. That's a great movie. Like a Lethal Weapon parody. With Sam Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Like early Sam Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Super good.
All right. Put it on the list.
now, not to sidetrack this podcast too far, because Lord knows we've never done that ever in the history of our individual podcast or this Hell Comes to Huntsville side project.
Nope.
But on the most recent episode of America's Barley Basket, Marlon, you were talking about getting into hockey. You said this is the year that you're going to get into hockey, and you were trying to decide who your team was going to be. Sir, why not the Ducks?
Because ever since that happened, that they made the Ducks a real hockey team, which has been, what, fucking 15, 20 years ago now at this point, I thought that was dumb then, and I still think it's dumb now, because it's like, oh, so does Disney own the team, I guess? It seems like advertising. It'd be like if there was a new hockey team in Huntsville and they named them the Chevrolet S10 pickups, you know, like it feels like an advertisement.
I mean, ultimately, that's what every professional sports team is. Like, we're just trying to put a cool logo on some shit to get you the starter jacket.
Yeah, they're all a company, you know, but like that one seemed so artificial and inorganic that I've never wanted to be a Ducks fan. But yeah, I'm still open. I like Winnipeg because they're close. I like Chicago because CM Punk likes them, and I like the Devils because Satan is cool.
Because I like the devil.
Yeah, all right. I haven't picked one just yet.
That's fair. I look forward to hearing who your team will be. Here, you know, like in the Huntsville area, we got Nashville right up the road, so we have the Nashville Predators, and I am all about that life.
I can't ever hear that name, though, without being like just quick in my head being like a Weinstein kind of thing. Like, what kind of Predators are we dealing with here? Is this a Cosby situation?
See, and I always hear Predators, and I want like the Arnold Schwarzenegger Predator.
God, that'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Predator, by the way, a movie Leanne Foster has never seen.
We know.
We know.
I mean, yeah.
We know. It's going to happen.
We try to not talk about it much, but we know.
That's fair. now we have talked about the last couple weeks now we've been doing this podcast, and we've disagreed on some movies, you know, and we've ultimately come to the conclusion not all things are for all people. Leanne, since you weren't a fan of the movie, you didn't like the movie, you may be happy to know when this movie came out, it was nominated for 2 Golden Raspberry Awards.
That seems right.
Yeah.
That seems on brand.
Only 2?
Should have swept every category, but that's fine.
It was nominated for Worst Director for Stephen King. I don't think they had a most coked director. Otherwise, Stephen King would have totally won that.
There was the third.
And also Worst Actor for Emilio Estevez.
See, I told you.
But on the flip side of that, it was nominated for Best Film at the International Fantasy Film Awards.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's a fantasy that that would win.
Oh, hey-o, buzzing.
Should host a morning radio show as well with that quick wit.
I know, with those puns, baby. 5 to 10.
5 to 10, bitch.
Leanne's got jokes.
Yeah, I got jokes.
I'm the funny gal. Listen to me.
Oh, I get it. That was my role on morning radio also.
I bet you were great as the funny gal.
Oh, you too.
Bloody Marlon hell. And Lily in the mornings.
Wait, which one's the funny gal?
They're both funny gals. Look at this.
They can both use the same bathroom. Yeah. They're so relatable.
Be a part of this gal group.
Weather's on the eights.
Make sure to join us for Wine Wednesday.
Yeah.
I would participate in a Wine Wednesday. Fuck, I love wine.
All right. We'll have to maybe line one of these up.
Wine, meat, and cheese, baby. I'm in.
So since this movie, Stephen King has not directed another movie.
Right.
He kind of swore it off. He's just like, nope. It was a good learning experience, but I'm out. Peace out.
I read somewhere where people have asked him why he didn't direct, why he doesn't direct more, and he's just said, watch Maximum Overdrive. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I read.
I mean, that's fair. Now, would there be, because I mean, I just now realize, and I don't know why I didn't realize this earlier, because I'm slow and I'm old.
Yeah.
Both the Stephen King movies we talked about this month were both like possessed vehicle movies.
They were.
Sentient cars. Yep.
And I specifically wrote down, I'd watch Christine again.
And you were super bored with that one.
I was bored with Christine, but it had more redeeming qualities.
Were you like just more bored with this one or just didn't like it overall?
I was more bored with it, maybe. I don't know. I couldn't find anything that I could say that I liked.
All right.
I just really couldn't. Also, I wanted to ask, because maybe I just missed it in my boredom, but the logic of the machines, there were things missing. There were gaps here. Like, I don't understand. It seemed like some cars were possessed and others weren't, or maybe they just didn't get to the possessed yet. Or like, why if the gun is a machine on the little cart, then guns are machines, why are they not malfunctioning and shooting people? Like, I didn't understand the logic there. Or am I just wrong? Is a gun not a machine? I guess it doesn't have a motor. I guess, is it the motor part?
I had all the exact same questions.
Okay, all right.
Because I also, like, when Kurt and Connie, when they're driving to the truck stop, I'm like, well, why isn't their car fucked up? You know what I mean?
They're driving away from a fucked up vehicle in a non-fucked up vehicle. Like, the logic only worked to serve the story, and it didn't, it wasn't consistent.
And the guns also, that occurred to me as well. I was like, well, if that one, but not these, maybe I'm not supposed to think about that too much.
Right.
There's one line of dialogue playing from someone's headphones when the kid is riding down the street and seeing everything all fucked up and the sprinklers are going off behind him.
Which was a great shot, by the way, I thought.
Yes. There's a news report that you hear in the background, and the only reason I caught it was because I had captions on that says, like, it's the newsman saying, like, the machines are coming to life and attacking people, and it seems to affect some more quickly than others. And if that is supposed to be their entire reasoning, this one throwaway, easily missable line, they done fucked up. I think yeah, you're just not supposed to think about it.
I guess I never really thought too much into it about, you know, like the gun thing, or other, you know, is it a machine? Is it not?
Right. And then another thing too that bothered me when they're in, when the vehicle that's got the gun on it, it starts doing the Morse code. And then there are, I think that's when it happens, and they want to, the trucks want to be refueled, right? But they have to turn the electricity on to turn the pumps on. And they say that, and then all the electricity comes on. So the machines can hear them, but then outside, they're just willy-nilly talking about how they have a plan to get out of there or to blow up the trucks. And I'm like, well, can they hear them or can they not hear them? Like, that caught me, too. Or I think maybe I wasn't supposed to read into that. I was just supposed to enjoy the movie.
I think when you are having a moment like this, you need to say to yourself, Stephen King was on a lot of cocaine.
Coke movie. Yep. Got it.
Coke movie. Yep.
Got it.
In fact, I'm sure the actors, you know, on set were like, now, Stephen, like, what, you know, what's my motivation here? Like, what's, like, with this particular scene, I mean, could they not hear us? Could they, Jesus, Emilio, what? I'm trying to do coke here. All right. Not every movie, not every story is going to be it. All right. Come on.
It can all be zingers.
Right. Right. Right.
There, one thing I like, and you get this super early on and then almost never again. I really like that the little detail that every machine, whether it is dangerous or not, just acts aggressively, like the ATM machine calling Stephen King an asshole, or the sign above the bank that's just flashing "fuck you," you know, or even the little engine that could, that is the electric fillet knife. Like, it's, I like the idea that even the littlest of machines, even if they can't hurt you, are going to just be aggressive.
Fucking, you want a soda? Here's a fucking soda,
dude.
Yeah, the soda machine. Yep, that's another one. I like, but there's something about, and maybe it's because it's in such an early shot before the first line of dialogue even, that bank sign that just flashes "fuck you" over and over again is so funny to me, and it's such a dumb, like, juvenile thing to laugh at, but that might be my favorite moment of this whole movie.
Marlon, when you said earlier you like how, you know, this is a thing that's happening globally, but you like the focus on the isolated characters. I enjoy movies like that as well, but I also, when they're done well, when you can tie them together, I like seeing the global picture, just because you get different, you know, different reactions, different insight to things happening in the world. I would have liked to see more of, like, that opening scene with, you know, like, with the soda machine, with everything coming to life, when it's kind of going to different spots. I think we could have done more with a broader scope.
Yeah, you could have shown, like, a bunch of quick examples of that from, like, different cities, you know, like, yeah, in a disaster movie when they show things going wrong across the globe, even if it's just a quick scene. They frankly could have done that instead of that that bridge lifting sequence, which seems to take 20 minutes. That sequence lasts too long.
Does, but it justifies my fear of those type of bridges.
I just think of the Blues Brothers and think, well, just drive off the fucking thing.
Right.
Oh, fucking hell. Well, Maximum Overdrive, I mean, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, like Meatloaf said.
Oh, is that your rating?
And okay. Who are we to argue with the loaf?
No, I was going to say, like, two of us like
oh,
it.
Oh, I got it. Sorry.
It's all right.
Might be.
I see that being slow moves around from host to host.
Crap. Yeah. Passed it on to me.
Time catches us all, you bitch.
Damn it, I should have been wearing a mask.
You should have been. Leanne, close us out with some final thoughts on a movie you didn't much care for.
You know, I don't hate it. It's just not for me.
Just didn't hook you.
It didn't hook me. And again, I really wanted to like it because I thought it would be cool. It wasn't done in a way that I could enjoy. But I didn't hate it overall. Just don't need to watch it again. Not for me. I will give it I will give it a 2.5.
All right.
Yeah, 2.5.
That's still respectable.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't the worst thing that I've watched in the series of This Hell Comes to Huntsville.
It wasn't the worst thing that you watched since yesterday.
True.
Marlon, some deep philosophical musings.
Ooh.
On Maximum Overdrive.
Glad you didn't ask me for that.
Boy, I feel like you're asking a lot. I don't know how deep you can get into Maximum Overdrive. I think it's all around enjoyable. I think the soundtrack works. I usually think that when one band does the whole soundtrack, I usually think that's overkill and I'm tired of them by the end of the movie. But I think it works here. Like I said before, I don't think any one thing in this movie is exceptionally strong, but there is something about the total package together, like the sum of its parts, that I'm like, yep, this, when you scrape it all into one big pile, this is a good movie. 4 out of 5.
All right. Mm-hmm. Four bells out of five from Marlon. And I feel very much the same way that you do, Marlon, about the movie. It's one of those movies like, I fucking, whatever. I like it. That truck is fucking cool. You know, fucking kids die in the movie. I always like that.
That's worth a bell.
Yeah. You're damn right. That's worth a bell. I will give it a 3 out of 5 for Maximum Overdrive.
All right.
So, yeah.
Now you're just rhyming.
Yeah. I like spitting verse when I give my recaps, when I give my reviews.
Fucking poet over here.
So tomorrow, I think we should go in the Wayback Machine. Yeah. You like that?
Yeah.
Wayback
Machine. I hate that I like it, but I liked it.
Jack, you're a lot like Maximum Overdrive. I kind of have to force myself to find any redeeming qualities about you.
Trying. Okay.
So far, kind of iffy, dog. Kind of iffy.
I don't hate you, but...
I'm not saying, you know, like, you're on thin ice. But you're on ice. Just so you know.
Nah.
Just so you know. Tomorrow, yeah, let's go back. Let's watch a movie from, I think, 32. So, like, way, way back.
Okay.
You want to watch Freaks?
I do want to watch Freaks.
You've seen that, though,
haven't
you?
I've seen Freaks.
Marlon, you have not?
I have not. I've certainly heard it referenced. I certainly know one of us, but other than that, I don't know shit about this movie.
All right, and that's definitely one of those that it would serve a good viewing. You know, if you're going through any kind of movie retrospective, any kind of review, I think it's definitely one that should be watched.
I didn't like that phrase when you said it on a different movie, but I'll go with it here.
Well, and like I said on that other movie, sometimes you got to watch the movie even though you're not going to like it.
I know.
Just to check it off the list.
I know.
This one not as splattery as that other movie that we don't talk about.
Can you imagine showing the good people of 1932 Dead Alive?
Oh my God.
I'm going to tell you right now, if time travel ever becomes possible, that's what I'm doing.
You dick.
Exactly.
I'm gonna just hang out at the theater where they're showing Freaks and people are coming out all shocked and offended and horrified, clutching their pearls. And I'm like, oh, if you thought that was bad, dog, check this out. Yo, I'm from the future. This is an iPhone. This is going to be crazy. Check out Dead Alive on YouTube.
Your phone wouldn't work in the past. Ain't no towers.
Yeah. Again, Stephen King was on cocaine. Don't look for the logic. And depending on what you believe, 5G has been around since 32. So it's possible.
Shit. Okay.
All right. You fucking nut. So we will be back tomorrow. We'll be talking about Freaks. Until then,
freaks!
Exclamation point. Give us a follow on social media, Huntsville Home Video, where you can check out new episodes every Monday. That is Leanne and I chatting about movies that she has never seen. Most of them she likes, more than what we watched yesterday. But if you want to check
today.
And today, yes, also true. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
Jesus Christ, I hate you for that. I really fucking do. At HSV home video.
And also give a follow to America's Barley Basket, currently TikTokless. But Marlon, where else can they find you on the social needs?
You ain't gonna find us on the talk, baby, but you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Barley Basket USA, and you can listen to a new episode of America's Barley Basket every Tuesday. Just search for it on your podcast app of choice and come listen to a couple of nice boys tell some fun goofs.
Indeed. Nice boys telling fun goofs.
That's wholesome.
It is.
And I like it.
Yeah. One of their episodes, by the way, they talked about putting a Furby up your asshole. So I don't know how wholesome they are.
My best childhood friend? A Furby?
Yeah, yep.
Oh.
There's... Yep. The collaboration we all knew we needed.
Yep.
And on that note, my friends, we will be back tomorrow. We'll be talking about freaks. And until then, be kind and rewind.
Honey, this machine called me an asshole.
I mean, that's how it had to end.